Before we pray about these things, let's look into the scripture, encourage our hearts a bit, I hope. Places the book of Numbers, more particularly chapter 9. Moses is at some pains here to relate this thing, and so we want to look at this. Turn aside and see this great sight. He's describing their journey from where they stopped at Mount Sinai and they built the tabernacle. Then they journeyed on to the Promised Land. He's going to look at it from this one standpoint, the Lord's presence. And so start reading with me at verse 15 of Numbers chapter 9. Now on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And in the evening it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. So it was continuously. The cloud would cover it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was lifted from over the tent, afterward the sons of Israel would then set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. At the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. Even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle, according to the command of the Lord, they remained camped. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. If sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted in the morning, they would move out. Or if it remained in the daytime and at night, whenever the cloud was lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days, or a month, or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they did set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the Lord's charge according to the command of the Lord through Moses. You see what I mean by at some pains to relate this one fact that they didn't move unless they saw the cloud move. They learned this much. And I just want to throw some thoughts at you about how this might relate to us and in the way of what they learned and how we, our situations are obviously different, aren't they? But they're not so different. And I think that we'll find the Lord dealing with us in so many ways like he dealt with them. So let's just look at these things. I want to share these things with you and toss them out in random order. And just to assure that, I numbered my last point as number one. So we're going to start there and work our way topsy-turvy through these different points here. I'm not trying to stress any emphasis on any one thing, in other words. But let's start here. They learn that God is. Right? Now, to explain what I mean by that, I'll read you one verse from Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. After a while, it almost become commonplace, wouldn't it? You'd see the cloud. At night, you look over there, it'd become like fire. The next morning, it'd be the cloud again. The evening after that, it'd be fire. And so it went for 40 years. And they saw God, the likeness of the glory of God, hovering over the tabernacle. And you end up learning something. He is. He exists. We serve a living God. We heard his voice on Sinai. Yes, we can't see him because God is spirit and we are of flesh, but he's pleased to show to us this, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. What does it say, verse 15? On the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle. And they labored at this, didn't they? And they offered for this, and they built this beautiful tent. And then a cloud comes, and God rewards their efforts, and he rewards their seeking, and he rewards their faith with this symbol of his presence and the almost tangible sense of his nearness. And I think if you wake up every morning and see that, and go to bed every evening and see that, after a while you think to yourself, God is. He is. He exists. I think the next thing you'd learn is that you'd learn to look to the Lord and not to man. You've got people over you. You've got heads of your tribe. You've got judges. You've got the heads of the clan. You've got Levites. You've got priests. You've got Moses himself and all of this hierarchy of the chain of command, if you will. And you could go to any one of these fellows and say, hey, I think it's time to leave. What would they say to you? It's not my call. I'm not making this call. You'll have to take it up with the Lord. And the cloud has not moved. And if, as we read here, sometimes they would stay there for a year, or at least many, many days, or a month. And yet for a while you'd say, you know, aren't we supposed to be in the land of promise about now? And you know how much trouble they had with impatience. Well, they're learning to look to the Lord and not to man. Similarly, they're learning that the Lord's timetable is not theirs. Or, turn that around, their timetable is not the Lord's. He doesn't think the way they thought, and they didn't think the way he thought. And if you think about this, there were some places they would camp for an overnight or a couple of days. Another place they'd camp for a year. And you could think of how this would be a trial to different types of personalities. The rash, who want to get on with things, when they stop for a year, they're just almost beside themselves with a sense of anticipation and impatience. Let's go. Or, on the other hand, if you're of a more sluggish and sedentary nature, and you really enjoy the thought of settling down and, oh, this is a lovely spot. What a great place to camp. Thanks for choosing this, Lord. And the next morning, he's going. Either way, whatever your temperament, you're going to be somewhere in this group here, in this chapter, being tried and tested. Is that right? Has the Lord found a way to test? And by test, I mean sort of start knocking off some of the rough edges of your impatience or the rough edges of your sluggishness and your sedentary, almost apathetic nature. Let's just stay here. I don't care. And the Lord would say, no, let's go. It's time to move. The Lord has a timetable, doesn't he? And it's not necessarily ours. Oh, that's something that we all need to learn, as really as did they. You know, and haven't we been in a holding pattern? I mean, I've told people before about the beginning of this work, and we thought that within 6 months' time we'd be at the ends of the earth with power from on high, and we'd be flaming evangelists and fiery witnesses, and the Lord just says, why don't you settle down here for a while and seek my face? And it's something totally different than we expected, than I expected anyway. So I'll just share that with you, that I can plug myself into this group here and say part of this would really grind me down. I think you'd also learn next not to love a place. What do I mean by that? I could just picture myself in and among these people. And yeah, you're in the wilderness, but there's some places more attractive than others. When we went to Israel, and the first real day of hiking was in the wilderness of Zin. I don't know if I shared that with you. I did, but I don't know if you remember it. And before we went, Mike Klein, who also went, Mark's brother, many of you know him, was telling me about how lovely that was. And I said, Mike, it's wilderness. It's desert. Oh, no. And he began to wax almost poetic about how there's a beauty to it. And I said, well, what's beautiful about it? He said, oh. And off he went. Oh, there's this solitary, and he's groping for words like I am now. And he said, it's just beautiful, Steve. Okay, I'll go see. I'll go put your theory to the test. And you know what? There is something to what he had to say. That was really a remarkable experience. And there was something about it. It's like people that live on the plains. They love the wide open spaces and the huge sky, and they see a tree, and it irritates them. You know, they want to see nothing but horizon. And they love the sky and the clouds and all of it, and I could see that. Well, you may get to a spot there in your journeys, and you think, now this is it. You know, if we're going to spend 40 years out here like the Lord said in judgment, I could just do it right here. It's pretty nice. And the next morning, or the next week maybe, the cloud begins to lift and you say in your heart, oh no, no, no. And the Lord says, yes, let's go. And so you're loving not to learn a place. In other words, not to settle down. You're learning that you're not of this age. You're not of this world. You walk through it. You march through it. You live your lives in it, but you're not of it. Does that make sense? And the Lord has 1,000 ways to show us this, doesn't he? Oh, you love your property. All of a sudden, I heard today from one of the carpenters who's been at our house. They had to go next to a place where the tree fell in their home. Oh, yet that guy could say, I used to love East Texas until this happened. Well, let's all move to Oklahoma where there are no problems. Sharon says, no, back there. Not going. Okay. You get the point, don't you? You get the thought that we could learn in situations like this not to love a place, not to love a locality, not to love this world, but to keep your eyes fixed on that which is coming. So that's not easy. You learn to become obedient, to stay on your toes, in other words. All right. After a while, you learn that. Okay, we may not be here for long. The Lord is, he may pull out tomorrow. We have to be ready to go and willing to go. You're learning to be obedient. And I think the more we walk through our own trials and tribulations, we'll learn the same thing. That the lesson they're teaching us and working into us will come to hand quicker and quicker with each repetition of it. And we'll become wiser and more on our toes like these people were. I think also you'd learn to trust. You'd learn to trust after a while, wouldn't you? He's always with us. He has never left us. Sure, the cloud lifts from time to time and it moves on, but it always moves on just quickly enough that we can follow. And then it will settle down and we'll slide up under it with the Lord's tent, and we'll gather around in our camps and camp all in this beautiful circle. But he's never left us. He's always there. And after a while, you learn to trust him, you know? And it's the sort of thing that we prove in our own experience day in and day out. Has he ever left us? I mean, he's been with us in joy. He's been with us in sorrow. He's been with us in plenty. He's been with us in want. And so we can, after a while, we get to say like Paul, you know, I've learned the secret of being content and suffering need and going hungry and being well fed, of having lots and having little. And what's the secret? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the Christ who never leaves me, who always helps me. His presence is always there. I can always lean my head back upon him. I can always call upon him. I can always find him near. He's always with me. He's never forsaken me. And they could say the same thing, couldn't they? He hasn't left us yet. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. It's one of my favorite verses. I'm with you. I'm with you always. And the Lord who holds all of history in his hand and watches it unfurling, rolling out, at his behest and his command, knowing all that's coming, he says, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you there, I'm with you there. All the way to the very end, I'm with you. And I think this too, after a while you just learn to be of a more heavenly mindset. That might sum up everything that we've said here. This world really isn't our home, is it? I mean, if you end up liking the solitary grandeur of the desert, that's fine, but you're not going to stay there for long. And there's the hope always before you of milk and honey, and a land that flows with it. And there's the place of rest and of peace. And the whole picture of their wandering becomes a picture of our lives. And the point to which they are going is becomes the very symbol of where we're going and how we are getting there. And I believe this, we are like they, learning to be of a more heavenly mindset. I mean, it's hard living in a desert, isn't it? How does every morning start? Well, you go out and get manna that fell on you from what you don't know. But God rains bread upon you every day. It's how every day starts. And so you gather the manna, and all of a sudden you see the, well, it's staying here. We're going to spend a day here. And a week. And a month. And all of a sudden it's time to go. Meantime, your wife's given birth in the tent. You know, you've had a whole new crop in your flock. And life is going on with all the different things that go on with life. But the Lord says, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. You're not to be desert Bedouins forever. You're to end up in the land of promise. Let's go. Let's go. And he always keep that with the sense of movement. He'd always keep that thought in their hearts and in their minds. This world, whether you like it or not, this world is not our home. We're pressing on to something else. Well, may we learn, like they, that whatever the Lord commands, we will camp or we will set out. We'll keep the Lord's charge. Let's pray.